Amen. So I want to talk to you today about the valley of dry bones will come alive. Amen. And I sometimes look around at people's lives and I think, God, your word has to be true. Ezekiel is a prophet in the Old Testament, and he was given a spectacular vision of a valley full of dry bones. And these bones came alive, which offers great hope to all of us who may be going through a dry season, who may feel like that they're dry. This has application to us as well as it did in Ezekiel's day to the children of Israel. And it also has application to the church today, which we can look at the church and say, well, the church is really struggling as a whole universally. It's going through a period of dryness, if you will. And we've seen better days. But it brings great hope to all who may feel that you're spiritually dry or you're going through a season of dryness, and or that you think that the world, the United States, our country, our community is dry. And what I mean by dry is without God and the anointing of the Lord. How many knows the anointing is represented in oil sometimes? And oil brings, when you take something that's dry and you put oil in it, it lubricates it. It brings life back to it. And anyways, here in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 through 14, I'm just going to go verse by verse, and I'm going to speak about some things as we go. It starts here, it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. And he set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones." I want you to know here, he discerned, and we can discern, that this is the true condition of that people. It was a valley full of bones, and this is a true condition of our country and our county right now, basically, and our community. It is a valley full of dry bones. And he was taken out by the Spirit of God to show him that. And what he shows is, what he showed him is not always beautiful. Listen to me this morning. What we always see with a natural eye is not always beautiful. But listen, we as the people of God, we walk by faith and not by sight. God walks by faith, not by sight. God calls those things that be not as though they were. God does things. He does not let what he sees discourage him. And I want to tell you this morning, we need to have the same kind of vision that Ezekiel had. And even though we see a valley of dry bones in our community, sometimes in our churches and in people's lives, it's not always beautiful, we don't give up, because God says, we see that God says, here, look at these dry bones. Now look at verse, he's telling Ezekiel, look at these dry bones. Now look at verse 3. And I'm sure it wasn't encouraging to Ezekiel to see this, which represented the nation of Israel. Verse 2 and 3. "And he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many of bones on the floor of the valley of bones that were very dry." Say very dry. Sometimes in the church are people that are not just dry, they're very dry. Some people don't even know they're dry. Bless their heart. They've been dry so long they think it's normal. But anyways, he says, he took him among them back and forth, and he said they were the bones that were very dry. That means the marrow in the bone was even dried out. And he said, and he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Now listen, we have the advantage that Ezekiel did not have, that we have the Word of God today that gives us hope. In his day, he did not have. He was talking to the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God was talking to him. And I want you to imagine the feeling that he must have had when the Lord took him among the bones and said, "Can these bones live?" And I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Imagine his feeling of helplessness, hopelessness among seeing all the deadness. Have you ever felt that way? Looking at people you love, looking at people in the church, looking at people in our community. You ever felt like that it's a hopeless situation? As a pastor, I have felt that way about church from time to time, about people in the church. We begin to get momentum going our way, and it's just like a slap in the face. You can preach a message on faithfulness, and the next week, 3/4 of them won't be there just to slap you in the face, I suppose. I don't know. But if you're not careful, you will begin to look at the situation, and it can be a situation of helplessness and hopelessness and seeing all the deadness in people's lives and the spiritual deadness in people's lives. And let me tell you something today. I see it. I see it. I see people that are falling by the wayside. I see people that are drying up. I see people that used to be fervent for the Lord that are no longer fervent for the Lord. I see people that used to have a vision for God, a vision for the things of God, that no longer have a vision for the things of God. And if you're not careful, you'll buy into hopelessness and helplessness. Now listen, the Lord asked him, said, do you see this? And I can just imagine the helpless feelings and the hopelessness that Ezekiel felt. Can these bones live? And God asked him, what's your feelings about this? I'm asking you today, can America once more live? Have we gone too far? Can our community be revived? Can our nation be revived? Can revival come to the church again in this area? Some people say this is a burnover area and it's burnover ground and it's hard to get revival here. Well, it was burnt over there and it was dry. And here's the correct answer. We alone don't know for sure, but we know that God alone knows. And what that speaks of is this. We can have hope, and we have to have total dependence upon the Lord to do it, because man can't do it. We can't muster up revival within ourselves. We can't muster up a move of God within ourselves. We need to have a total dependence upon God for revival. And it has to be on God. Our focus has to be on God and not on our desperate situation. If I always looked at the desperate situations in people's lives and church, man, I'd tuck tail and run. I'd just give up because I'm not enough for it. But I believe that God is. Say, God is. But I want you to understand something this morning. That even though God is, God needs us as well as we need Him. He needed Ezekiel as well as Ezekiel needed him. And God's looking for people who will be dependent upon him for this revival. Now look at verse 4. Then he said to me, this is where we come in. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I want you to understand, this is one thing that we've got to get. We've got to get in our churches, is that we play a vital part in revival. You know, people begin to see dryness in the church, dryness in people's lives, and it affects other people, and they begin to lose heart. Did you know when you was in the war, the reason that they didn't want anybody to tuck tail and run, because the ones who were standing there fighting and fighting alone would begin to lose heart. God does not want us to lose heart. He said, prophesy. Prophesy to the bones. And this is where we come in. He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them. God wants us to say something. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I want to tell you today, I do this. I do this. I do this over the church. I do this over the people's lives, especially those I know that are struggling in their faith. And see, that's what we need to hear. That's what the church needs to hear. That's what the spiritual atmosphere needs to hear. That's what the heavenlies need to hear. They need to hear the word of the Lord, because the Bible says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. If you're loosing the feet, well, that's all there's going to be on the earth. But if you're loosing the word of God will prevail. How many wants the word of God to prevail? In people's lives, in your own life, in people's lives. Every one of us in here have experienced seasons of dryness. But he said, prophesy. What does this word prophesy mean? Well, one, it means the written word, preach, taught, and witness. We need to witness the word of God. When people have dryness in their life, you need to bring the word of God. Jesus said the word of God is manna. It is what brings life to something that is dead. Then the prophetic word suggesting the moving of the Holy Spirit. We got to have the moving of the Holy Spirit in us, through us, and on us. And we got to be willing to yield to the Holy Spirit when He begins to move upon us. Everybody's looking for the pastor to do it all, the preacher to do it all, when I know I'm not the only one in here that the Holy Spirit uses.
That's right. Come on. Come on.
That's right. I remember one time I was in a service and there was a preacher that was supposed to preach in our church. And He went to the back during the song service. He's not a big praise and worship person. And he went to the back and he began to read books. I could see him. And the Holy Spirit began to fall in our service. And I mean, the atmosphere became charged during praise and worship. And God began to unction me to do some things and prophesy some things and to lay some hands on some folks and things. And I remember this distinctly. I said, this is not my service today. This is the other minister's service. I was going to take it easy today and just be fed. And you know what the Lord spoke to my heart and said? I tried to get his attention. I tried to get his attention, but he wouldn't listen. I looked back a couple times. I thought, should I go back there and tell him? But I thought, well, he won't believe me if I say it because he's not in tune. He's not even with what's going on this morning. He don't have a clue what God's up to because he's out of touch. So I went ahead and obeyed God. We had us a wild service out here for about 45 minutes, and then we finally turned it over to him, and there wasn't nothing left. It was done. God done come, gone, moved, and the service basically over. He preached, but he missed the whole boat. What I'm trying to say is, he said prophesy. And when he says prophesy, that means somebody's got to take God at his word and do what he's telling them to do. And I'm telling you this morning, I'm not the only one that God's speaking to. There are people that have the prophetic unction that God is speaking to. And it suggests the moving of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in the book of Corinthians that the Holy Spirit moves upon all of his people as he wills. And he's looking for people who not only will hear, but will obey him. What are they going to obey? The anointed word, speaking the prophetic utterance and speaking God's word out to people. And this has to be done through anointed vessels like you and I. Not just one. Not just one. I want to tell you something. If we all come with the attitude that it's all up here, that the show is the preacher only, we miss the point. Because the Bible clearly says that the body, every joint, supplies. When we come together, we make up a body. And every joint has to play their part. In one place, it calls it a spiritual substance that we all have to supply. And all of us are required to listen to the Holy Spirit. When we here's what we do. When we expect it to come from the pulpit only, we limit our God and what he wants to do in our midst. Am I the only one that's called to go out and witness? Am I the only one that's supposed to flow in the gifts of the Spirit? Am I the only one that's supposed to encourage people with the Word of God? No. We're to be about doing that all the time to each other. So Ezekiel saying, he told Ezekiel, said, prophesy. Ezekiel heard what the Lord said. I'm telling you this morning, it has to be done through spirit-filled vessels like you. Prophesy to what? To these bones. It must be done even if you feel like you're being foolish. How foolish did Ezekiel feel with a valley full of very dry bones in a desert? Come on now. In a desert. Now, I'm not talking about in a church service where there's spirit-filled people. I'm talking about in a desert. How foolish must he have felt when God said, speak to the bones. How foolish sometimes the Holy Spirit will ask us to do things that we think are foolish. But God's saying, prophesy, do what I say in spite of what you feel like. Let me tell you something. There's times when the church is full, I feel it. And then there's other times when the church is three-fourths of the way empty, for whatever reason, I don't really feel it. I feel foolish. And there's times when I get up and I speak to the atmosphere, and I speak to the environment, and I speak to the things that are around me. I speak to these empty chairs when nobody else is in here. I speak it out in prayer, and I begin to prophesied to the north, the south, and the east, and the west, and I began to call it done in Jesus' name. I began to call people in. I feel foolish. I I'll never forget one time my mom called me. My grandmother had had a stroke. I had been in that morning, I had been in a season of prayer. I had worked a midnight shift, came home, was laying in the floor in the living room, and a phone rung. And my mom called crying, "Your grandmother's just had a stroke. It's a severe stroke. She's comatose, and she's not going to make it. I'm just calling to tell you so you can make preparations to get down here." We lived in Tulsa. They lived in Alabama, Birmingham, 12 hours away. I'll never forget, the Holy Spirit came upon me. And this is what He said. He said, "You tell your mom," they was not believers. Say that with me. They was not believers. They didn't understand. He said, "You tell your mother, prophesy, that the very thing that caused your grandmother's stroke will be removed and she'll be healed." Well, my mom thought I had... She said, "You're not listening to me, son." I said, "Listen to me. In the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, listen to me." And then I said, "Who all's there with you?" She said, "Grandpa and my sister." I said, "Put Grandpa on the phone." He wasn't a believer. I said, "The very thing that caused her stroke is going to be healed and she's going to leave there." My grandfather's like, "What's wrong with this boy?" I could hear him talking in the background. He's lost his ever-loving mind. He's not hearing what we're saying. "Your grandmother's dying." Then I said, "Put my aunt on the phone." My aunt certainly wasn't a believer. And she said, she says, she's being nice about it. And she goes, "Oh, okay. Okay, well, we'll expect to see you," type thing. And I said, "Put my mom back on." I said, "Mama, I'm telling you." And when I hung up, I felt so foolish. Oh, I felt foolish. I felt like the biggest fool you ever seen. But you know what happened? A few minutes later, a knock come on my door. And it was a friend of mine. And the Spirit of God was all over me. Say, "Over me." Upon you. How many knows He wants to come upon you?
Yes.
He wants to come upon His church. Oh God, He wants to come on His church. And you are that church. And I remember opening the door. And when I opened the door, that guy that was there, who was the guy that led me to the Lord, when I opened the door, the atmosphere was so charged with the Holy Spirit, all he could do is drop to his knees and begin to weep. Because he felt the Spirit of God. Listen to me. It doesn't matter what our flesh says or thinks. What matters is what God thinks. And he said, "What is going on in here?" He could just feel God all in the place. I began to weep. We got on the floor and we wept. We just began to praise God together. And I couldn't even tell him what was going on. All I could do is weep before the Lord, because I felt the presence of God come upon me. And I was just obedient. He said, "Prophesy," and I prophesied. God is my witness. 1 hour later, I was talking to my grandmother on the phone. The next day, she went home and she lived her life out and didn't die from a stroke. Everyone in my family, because of that, got saved. Come on. We got to quit worrying about what we look like. Amen. Put your clothes on, get dressed, and dress neatly. But when it comes to spiritual things, if God wants to make a fool, Paul said we're fools for Christ. And we got to be willing to be a fool if necessary. It may look foolish to go speak to a bunch of chairs that are empty and say, "You know, you are the product, every one of you in here today, of me saying every chair in here will be full for the glory of God." Not for my glory, for the glory of God. Not only will every chair, there'll be Holy Ghost filled believers in here that want to know more about God and desire to grow in the things of God. And the people that are doing the music today, when we used to do CDs and didn't have musicians, I used to prophesy. We bought all the instruments and I'd go prophesy, lay my hands on them, say, "There's a keyboard player, praise God. There's a guitar player, there's a drummer, there's beautiful singers." And we had the microphones and everything. And I'm just, it's foolish. It seemed very foolish. But God can take what seems to be foolish and make it into something. It must be done even if you feel or look foolish. I speak out prayer, and to be very honest with you, there's times I feel embarrassed because the devil wants me to back off, but I will not do it. He said, prophesy to the valley of dry bones. Look at verse 5 and 6. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. And see, when you begin to prophesy what God says, then you're on safe ground. Yes. Look what he says. Prophesy to these bones. And this is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skins. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Listen to me today. America needs the breath of God. America needs a move of God. It needs somebody that will prophesy the breath of God. Somebody that will pray the breath of God. We need the breath of God. This word breath in the Hebrew means wind or spirit. Did you know when Adam was just a blob until God breathed His spirit in him? What does it mean when He breathes His spirit? People begin to get born again, filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. What happens when God... Bring up the next scripture. What happens... bring up not the next verse, but bring up 1 Samuel. What happens when God begins to breathe on His people? What happens when God begins to breathe on dry bones? This is the story of Samuel. He was anointed by God. And he was prophesied over to be a king. And when he was anointed... by Samuel, this is what happened to him. Look what it says. The Spirit of the Lord is what he told him will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy to them, and you will be changed into a different person. When God begins to move and God begins to breathe, and His Spirit gets on people, and they begin to get filled with the Holy Ghost, they become a different person, praise God. Not one of us in here are the same today than we was the day that God met us. You're going to read down in verse 10. I don't know if you can bring that up, Brian. Verse 10, I want to show you something there, 1 Samuel. I want to show you the effects of it. Samuel 10. Yeah, and Saul turned to leave Samuel. God changed Saul's heart, and all the signs were fulfilled that day. And when they arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he joined them in their prophesying. What am I telling you today? I'm telling you, when God begins to move and He begins to blow upon His people, blow upon His church, people begin to get changed and they become into different people by the Spirit of God. People go from losers to winners. People go from failures to winners. How many remember the Apostle Peter? He denied Christ. 50 days later, he was the leader of the church. He went from a failure who denied Christ that wouldn't even stand up to a little girl and tell her, I love Jesus. To 50 days later, the Spirit of God fell when they were in the upper room and came upon him. And the Bible said Peter stood up with great boldness and began to preach the gospel. And 3,000 to 5,000 got saved all at once. Not two or three days later, he's walking by the gate, beautiful. And he sees a man, and God knows he'd walked by this guy hundreds of times. Walked by him and said, such as I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have, I have the Spirit of the living God. And what I have, I give unto thee. Rise and walk in the name of Jesus. Don't tell me God can't change people, because He can. And if we get this mentality that God can and God's done and God's not interested in changing people, we'll never expect it. We'll never prophesy it. We'll never believe it. We think our kinfolks and our in-laws and outlaws, all those that are messed up, broke, busted, and disgusted and messed up, that there's no hope for them. I'm telling you, if Peter can be transformed, so can they. But it takes somebody that are willing to prophesy. Not sit around and talk about how evil and bad they are. Tell them what God says about them. Because listen to me, when we start agreeing with the devil, we're putting fuel to the fire. Jesus never went to a sick person and told them, He says, I know you're sick and I'm going to be sick with you. No, He told them, be healed. Just the opposite of what there was. The people who were bound by devils and the ones that were bad and messed up, He changed them into something good. Yes. He would speak what was contrary to what they were doing. He would prophesy to the deadness in their life, and He would speak life, and He would breathe the Holy Ghost upon them. Changed into a different person. So verse 7 says, go back to that. Look at this. Verse 5 and 6 says, I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. This is God speaking. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Now look at verse 7. Now this is our part. So Ezekiel said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. Oh, glory to God. Listen to me. The King James says a shaking. There has to be a shaking. God has to shake some of us and shake us loose from what's binding us. But we got to be willing to let God do a shaking. Did you know there's a shaking happening in this church? I said there's a shaking and a rattling that's happening in this church. Sometimes when the shaking happens, it's not pretty. Come on, church. He said that they begin to rattle. He said, I prophesied and there was a noise, a rattling noise. The King James says a shaking sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Listen to me, when God begins to do His work and we begin to do what He says, I want you to understand verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a shaking, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Listen to me, this is how revival comes. It has to come the way God says it has to come. When God says prophesy and He says speak my word, we got to say, I prophesied as God commanded me. Obedience helps revival to come. I prophesied as I was commanded into a bleak situation. There have been some of you in here, and you know who I'm talking about, and I'm not going to point you out. As of lately, your life was terribly bleak. And God began to speak into your situation, and now it's totally 180 degrees from what it was just a couple of weeks ago. Because somebody heard God and says, I'm going to speak what God's saying. And the wind of God began to breathe upon it and your situation, and you begin to change. Now look at this. As a result, guess what happened? Look what it says. It says that the bones came together, bone to bone. What does that mean, preacher? It means this. As a result, order, bone to bone. Order began to come out of chaos and deadness. I said order become, listen to me very carefully, especially you today that are here, that you have a heavy heart for loved ones, that you think that there's no hope, order can become out of chaos. Yes. You wouldn't be sitting here today if order didn't come out of chaos. Because right. Every one of us was in the midst of chaos when God found us. None of us were holy and righteous and was looking for God. He was looking for us. And when He came and breathed on our life, He brought order into our life that was very chaotic at that time. So why can we limit God not to get a hold of our kinfolks, our daughters, our sons, our loved ones, our community? Why don't we believe that God can bring order and bring bone to bone and order can come out of chaos? Why can't we believe that life can come out of deadness? Why can't we just take God at His word? Why can't we take God and believe that He can take the sorriest situation and bring order to it? That's what it takes to bring God on the scene. If Ezekiel would have said, no, I don't think so, Lord, that's impossible. I want you to understand something here. You're missing something that I don't want you to miss. That if Ezekiel had not cooperated with God, it wouldn't have got done. Oh, God would have done it anyways. He don't want to do it without you. He does not want to do it without His body. He wants to do it through His body. The Bible says in Colossians that the church may be manifest and that the powers of heaven may notice. He does not want to do it any other ways. He did not choose to do it any other way. When He sent Jesus, He was doing it through a body. He couldn't do it without a body. He won't do it without a body. And what I'm trying to get you to see is that God needs you in order to get what He wants done in the earth done. And He wants to bring order to that which is chaotic. And He wants to bring life to that which is dead. He wants to bring something of order out of the sorest situation you may think you see in your family or those around you. God wants to bring life to it. But He won't do it without us. Ezekiel was a necessary part of the puzzle. Now look what happens when we listen to God, when we believe God, we listen to God, we don't care if it looks impossible or it looks foolish. We just say, I believe you, Lord. Look at verse 8. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Let me tell you something, what this represents. It represents a body coming together, but no breath yet. Unity is the precursor to the reviving of the breath of God. Because it says in Psalms 133, how good and pleasant it is when the brothers dwell together in unity. It was like the oil on the precious head of Aaron, the first high priest, how it flowed from the top to the bottom when we come together in unity. It's a precursor to God having His way. And not only is it a precursor to God having His way in a group of people, listen to me very carefully. It speaks more than that. It means you getting united with God and His purposes. Ezekiel could have said, nah. But he said, I did what I was commanded to do. He came in and got united with God. You want to see your loved ones get saved? Get united with God. I want to tell you this morning, God wants to see your loved ones saved more than you do. I'll say it again. God wants to see your loved ones get saved more than you do. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So we got to understand that if we'll get what God wants to get with His program, we don't hinder God, and God can begin to work and move and have His way. Verse 9 says, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. We will have a part in any Holy Spirit outpouring. God will not do it outside of us. You prophesy to the breath, O breath. What does that mean, preacher? Well, it means speak it out. It means pray it out. It means decree it, declare it. It says, come, O breath of God. Think about this for a minute. Ministry to dry bones require much beseeching of the Lord and much speaking of God's word. When God told the disciples, He said, go to the upper room. What do you think they did in the upper room? He told them what to do before they went. He said, go to the upper room till you be endued from power upon high. Till God breathes. How you know when it came down like a mighty rushing wind, it was the breath of God that was blowing upon the early church. And I'm telling you, when they were in the upper room, they had to be said, oh God, come, Holy Spirit, come, breathe upon us, breathe upon the church. We're broke, busted, disgusted. There's only 120 of us. It's a great big world out there. You have left us, Jesus, and there's nothing here but us, and we don't have anything to offer unless you come and you do something, God. This is what you got to say to God. This is what it means to prophesy and say, oh, come, Holy Spirit, come. This is what it means when you're crying out for the lost and the loved ones in your family as you begin to cry and say, God, I can't do it without you, and they can't do it without you, and they can't change without you. And God, you promised that you would send your Holy Spirit and you would transform lives and change lives. And God, I'm calling out to you to do just that. Verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. This vast army he's talking about is the same army that's prophesied in Joel. that said, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall have visions, and your maidens shall prophesy. Young maidens. And then he goes on to say, I seen the army of the Lord, a vast army of the Lord. Not all of them marched in unity. Not one broke rank. This is the church. I said, this is the church.
Yes.
This is us. He's seen a vast army after he commanded the breath to come and prophesied to the breath, come. Did you know when I went that day that I had spoke to my grandmother, my mother, my grandfather, and my aunt on the phone, when I hung the phone up, oh my God, I felt foolish. Part of me said this. Part of me said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself that you're not crying and having compassion for your grandmother. The other part of me says, thus saith the Lord. So what I did is I hit the floor. I began to weep before the Lord. And I began to cry out to Him and said, God, it can't happen unless You do it. And oh God, I did what You told me to do. Now God, You've got to come through. It is a total dependence upon God. How many here has got loved ones they want to see saved? Raise your hands. That's almost unanimous. How many in here knows there's people in your family that are dry, that need a fresh breath of God to blow on them? How many believes that our church needs a fresh breath, fresh wind of God? So church is not the same. Did you know, listen to me carefully, people think it's the pastor's fault that the services and all that and a bag of chips. If I've got to work it up, it's not God. Come on now. If I've got to work it up, it's not God. If I've got to come in here and put on a show, it's not God. It only will be God when the people get hungry and begin to line up with the Word of God and say, oh God, breathe upon our church. Breathe upon our people. Breathe upon those who need a fresh wind in their lives. And then God has the right of way to come in and blow in our lives. Breathe upon our lost loved ones. Breathe upon our sons and our daughters. Breathe upon our brothers and our sisters, those that are lost. After I spoke that and my grandmother got healed, everybody, it was an open invitation to witness about Jesus after that. People just began to say, oh, hey, there's something to this. But listen to me. He said, I prophesied as He was commanded. We have to obey and be a willing vessel. Even in dry times, we have to pray and prophesy. And then the breath of God blows. Life comes to the dead. The valley of dry bones become a living multitude, the Bible says, and a vast army. Those that you think that are beyond what God can do, you're wrong. Those who you, out of all the people in the New Testament that people would have thought, because the people, first of all, the Christians couldn't believe that Saul, got turned into Paul. They were afraid of him, even though God had done a mighty work on him. You know, I can just imagine that there were people praying because he was so persecuting the church. God, do something with this man. And God changed Saul into Paul. The Christians were afraid of him at first. The people who he had left, the Pharisaical group, they didn't believe it, not Saul. He's hard as a rock. He's mean as a snake. He was taking people and casting them into prison. But I'm telling you, when the breath of God blows on the life, He can change the most vile into something great. He can take the dead and turn them to life. Then He said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we are cut off. Go back to verse 11. Look at it. Then He said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we are cut off. Did you know I hear people say that about us in this church? God forgive you if you're saying that kind of junk. Long as there's breath, long as there's God, there's hope. Don't let the devil use you as an instrument to prophesy doom and gloom and death. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. We're not cut off. We're part of the body. Our hope is not gone. Our hope is in Jesus. He is the rock of our hope. He is the anchor of our hope. Come on, church. Is that right? Then we need to believe that. This is what the house of Israel was saying. All hope is gone. There's no reviving us. There's no making us a nation again. There's no bringing breath and life back to us. We're doomed. We're done. Some people have that mentality in their life. It's never going to get better. It's only going to get worse. The economy is going to get worse. The nation is going to get worse. It doesn't matter if it does. You can still be a bright light in the midst of a very dark, dark, dark world. The army is identified as the whole house of Israel, and that represents what we call the church today. Theirs in our present state might be dryness, might be hopelessness, but this has had to be what the early church felt like when Jesus left and said, I'm going away. And they thought, oh my God, it was nice while it lasted. You know, we have seasons of outpourings in our church, and people, we all bask in it when it's happening. And then when we hit a season of lull, people are just like, oh my God, it sure was nice in those days, but I don't think we'll ever get it back again. Verse 12. They had to feel that way, and we feel that way. But look, therefore prophesy, say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, verse 12. Oh my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And this is what the Lord says to the church. I'm going to open your graves. I'm going to breathe upon you again. He's going to say to your lost loved ones, I'm going to open their graves. I'm going to breathe on them. And I'm going to bring them back to the church. Amen. I'm going to bring them back to the church. Can you say amen? Listen to me, I'm going to bring your lost loved ones back to the church. Listen to me, I'm not scolding this morning. What I'm trying to do is get you to see things from God's perspective. As a pastor, that is my job. As a preacher, teacher, is to get you to see the way God sees. Because when we begin to see things the way God sees, we'll get on God's side and we'll begin to do what God is doing. God is doing a work in the earth. And if we'll get alongside Him, but begin to work with Him, amen. How many knows the Bible says we are workers together? That's what God said about us. And when we'll begin to get on His side and begin to work with Him, we'll begin to see mighty things. We'll begin to see graves open up, and those that we thought were dead, lost, and was going to hell, that God will begin to transform and change their life in one fell swoop. All He did to Samuel was anoint him, and then immediately Saul was changed into a different man, the Bible says. All it takes is one breath of God upon a family member and their life changes. That's all it took for me. That's all it took for you. You. Every one of us in here, all it took was one experience with God to change us. Some of us, it changed us for eternity. So we need to believe God. We need to believe God for those that are dry, those that are hopeless, those that are hurting, those that are messed up. We need to ask God to breathe upon their lives. Come, O breath of God, breathe upon us. And look what God says there. Verse 12 says, therefore prophesy, I say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I'll bring you back to the land of Israel. This literally happened, by the way. And therefore, in light of these scriptures, in light of their despair, we're supposed to speak, God, will you open their graves? Your loved ones that you see that are following the wrong path, will you cry out on their behalf and say, oh God, open their graves, open their hearts. Will you bring them out of deadness, oh God? Will you bring them back to the church or the land of promise? And we need to speak a message of hope, because God is speaking a message of hope to His people. Look at the next verse, verse 13. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. Did you know that that's when we knew that we were God's children, is when God transformed our lives and changed us? And He can do the same for your loved ones. He can do the same for those that are out here that are strung out on methamphetamine, those that are strung out on crack. Listen to me very carefully. Yes, I know the problems, but I'm not focusing on the problems. I'm focusing on the solution, which is God. If all we do is sit around and discuss all how bad things are and how bad they're getting and how bad they're going to get, then we'll never have faith to believe God to change anything. He says, then, verse 13, then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. Even in the worst of times, even if you feel you're languishing in the valley of dry bones, remember, the Bible said we're still His people. No matter how hard it seems, we're still God's people. There have been times when the church has cycled in a down cycle that I have felt so low and so bad that I didn't want to go on. But I remember getting before the Lord, and you've heard me say this before, recommitting, rededicating my life, my heart to the purposes of God. When I was at my lowest point, when I felt like people didn't care, people was, and I realized that it's the devil that leads people astray. I felt like that people didn't care. People wasn't consistent. They didn't care whether the church makes it or don't make it. Those are the times that you just got to get before the Lord and say, we're still your people, Lord. And even when people are not doing what they know to be doing right, you go before them and you say, I say, God, they're still your sons. They're still your daughters. How many's ever had a rebellious child? Do we disown them? No, they're still our children. And we're still God's children. And I've had seasons where I just would turn my nose up and say, no, God, I'm not going to do that. And then God just continued to work with me and say, you're still my son. And then God began to breathe on me. And when God breathes on you, you begin to melt. Your hard heart begins to melt. I want to encourage you today that God's not done. God hadn't really even begun. He's going to pour out His Spirit. Look at verse 14. I will put my Spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. What is He saying? God will pour out His Spirit once again. The Bible says in the last days that the latter house is going to be greater than the former house. God will pour out His Spirit. What does that mean? New births, baptism in the Holy Spirit resulting from rivers of living waters flowing. The final result is an entire nation was born again or saved. But in our case, it can be an entire community. Listen to me. God said, first go to Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the world. We as a church got to focus on our community first. And as we begin to win our community, God will branch us out into something larger. But we got to believe God for our community. How many can believe God for our community? How many wants to see a great revival in our community? That God's name be glorified and that people be lifted up and rescued from the hand of the enemy. Because the hand of the enemy is the spirit of death. The final result was an entire nation will know that God is the Lord and that He'll do great things for His people and through Him and will raise them up as His exceeding great army. Come on up, Nina. Church, come on up here too if you would, Adam. Church, listen to me. Let's not buy into the idea that the best days of the churches are over. God's always going to have a remnant. Let's not buy into this mentality that I'm saved, but maybe my family members won't make it. Let's not buy into the idea that crack and methamphetamine and marijuana and alcohol and sex and every other sin, every other vice under the sun is greater than God. Let's not buy into that. Go ahead and begin to play something softly if you want, guys. Let's not buy into that God is not greater than... The Bible says this, where sin abounds, grace doeth much more abound. Let's buy into. 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 Let's buy into.